When idealistic squire Fenton Babblewick inherits his uncle's Yorkshire estate, it's the perfect opportunity to realise his utopian dreams. But for his manservant, Augustus Snipe, the move to Babblewick Hall is a nightmare. The place is cold, full of farm animals, and worst of all, it's in the north.
We present Babblewick Hall by Scott Cherry, starring Nicholas Le Prevost and Forbes Masson.
Go on.
Get off. I don't want to answer it.
You've got to. Come on. I'll go hide in the scullery. Open the door.
Oh, all right. Out the way, Satan. Oof. Yes?
Tell me, servant, is this Babblewick Hall?
I'm sorry, sir, but I can't speak with you on account of me hearing.
What?
When I were a baby, my grandmother threw me down the stairs thinking I were the devil come as a midget. And I've been deaf ever since. Good day to you.
Yes. If you're deaf, how do you know I knocked the door?
Vibration, sir.
Listen, I'm well aware of the deviousness of you country folk. I'm not one of your city dwellers with more snuff than sense. You are not deaf, and this is Babblewick Hall. Stand aside. Now, I am Augustus Snipe, the new squire's valet de chambre.
What?
I want the fires lit and the beds aired. Now, hurry, man. My master's following behind in the coach.
Stop the horses! Whoa! Tell me, is that Babblewick Hall?
That's Babblewick, all right, squire.
Then I've made it! Oh. All the way from the infernal racket of London. Oh. To my rural paradise. I'll walk from here, coachman, if you don't mind.
Yes, I do mind, sir.
I beg your pardon?
If you turn me back, I won't have earned the full shilling. And without a shilling, how can I bury me children?
What?
Me children, squire, they've all gone and died, all of a sudden like.
Good God, when?
This morning. 1 minute they were playing with a bucket, next minute they were dead.
They were playing with a bucket?
I've a feeling it were a bad bucket, sir.
Oh. Well, my dear Philip, look. Here's 3 shillings to... No. No. You can have every coin I possess to bury your children.
Oh, thank you.
And as a tip...
Yes?
You have my favourite silk handkerchief.
Oh.
Please sit down a moment.
Don't worry, sir, I won't.
My master is gullible and exceedingly charitable with his perquisites, and I don't want any of you abusing his good nature and stealing in on my tips. Understand?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Snipe, aye.
Now, before he arrives, give me your names and duties. You first. Come on!
I'm not answering to you.
Jack.
I'm not.
I'm sorry, Mr. Snipe. His name's Jack. He sees to the horses.
Not anymore. I'm old and sick.
Mm. And who are you?
I'm Molly Biddle, housekeeper. And may I say, what a relief it is to meet another servant with a taste for the fashion.
I'm sorry?
Well, I'm told my hair is all the rage in London, is it not?
I've no idea, madam, having never visited Bedlam. Now, what have we here? What are you, boy? Eh? A scarecrow?
I'm Barney, sir.
And what's your job on the estate?
Yes? Oh, it's all right, Barney. Don't be frightened. I'll hold your hand.
I baff up old Genkin.
Sorry?
I baff up Genkin.
Mm-hmm.
Fiddle charkin.
Fiddle the charkin, yes?
Epping it, flopping and tepping it, wecking it, and if I've a mind, slegging it and all.
What did he say?
He said he's the gardener.
Oh. Ah, good. My master's arrived.
Jack. I can't hear you.
Yes, you can. Answer the door.
Answer it yourself.
I beg
beg your pardon.
He's your master.
Now listen, you old weasel. I'm just about...
No, you listen to me, you great Scotch Aggie. You're right up here playing the Grey Lord of Plenty, looking down at us from them foppy-eyed boots of yours.
Foppy what?
And all you is, man, is a common footman.
Common foot.
Aye.
If you must know, I am a valet de chambre.
Ah, stop it.
A gentleman's gentleman.
Well, I don't have to answer that like for you. You get the door. We're going to the kitchen for a smoke and a song. Come on, Barley.
Aye. Hey, come back here.
How dare you take me for a footman? I've never been in livery in my life.
I'm sorry, Mr. Snipe. Mm. They'd make a sow blush. I'll go and bring him back. Jack? Barney, come here!
Oh, out of the way. There you are, Augustus. You're out, Cynthia.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to keep you, Squire.
But it seems the servant could teach the devil. Oh, sir.
Yeah, as you can see, I have a little drenched.
Oh, you're new.
The tea court. The coachman directed me into a bog. Oh. Almost perished in the mud.
And your new riding boots. The ruins.
To think I gave the man all my money.
I knew I shouldn't have ridden on ahead, sir.
I warned you. Leave London and we'll be used for sure.
Yes, all right, Augustus.
There'll be a highwayman behind every head.
Yes. Cutthroat at every corner.
Yes, all right, that's enough.
There's more villainy in London. Much more.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is. And that's why we're here. To live a simple life among honest folk. So please, stop arguing. Take off my boots.
Yes, of course.
Well, hurry, man. Before I die from the shivers.
I'm just wondering how to take off your boots, Squire, without getting mud on my embroidered waistcoat.
Ah! There you are, Bob Scotcher.
Hello, Jack.
What are you doing wearing a beard, Bob?
I dressed up as a coachman, didn't I? Got nine and threepence off the new squire.
You were supposed to kill him!
What? He isn't here, is he?
Of course he is, you great fool.
And that's them ringing from the old master's bedchamber.
But he should have died in Mappy Swamp.
Well, he didn't! And if he finds out what we've been up to, we're done for.
You'll both hang.
Will we? Of
course he will.
They can't hang me, not at my age. It'll kill me. Bob, do something.
Why don't you do something?
Because you're the one that made us pocket the rents. You're the one that sold the furniture. And you're the one that pushed the old squire down the well. You said we'd be off to the Indies by Christmas, living like kings.
We will be.
Well, it's up to you, Bob Scotcher, to get the new squire and his valet out of here.
Did you say valet?
He's got a valet. One Augustus Snow.
A powdered viper.
And he's a Scotchman.
But he can't have a valet. I dress for squire of Babblewick.
Just get them out of here. Go on.
All right, I will.
And Bob,
what?
You better take off that beard.
Come on, come on, come on. How's the fire proceeding?
Ooh, that's freezing. The cotton in this tinderbox is damp, sir. Like everything else in this confounded backwater.
Oh, I can't bear it. For God's sake, man. Control your temper.
Why did we have to abandon our rooms in Pall Mall, sir?
How many more times, Augustus? My uncle left me this estate, and it is my intention to live...
Oh, God.
...working the land.
But in London, we had the theatres, coffee houses,
gentlemen's clubs, everything civilised men could want, sir. And now look at us, shivering in a house of desolation, where the rain's penetrated the roof.
Augustus.
The tables have been eaten by one.
Augustus.
And the beds, look. Now, oh, take it over, my animals.
What are you trying to say?
I say, and I express this as your humble servant.
Oh, really?
One who knows his lowly place in the hierarchical scheme of things. One who would die sooner than put his thumb in your custard.
Get to the point, man.
The point is, that I would be happier in London living with a sweaty ill-wife and her incontinent dog in an Islington village cellar than spend one night in this country cowshed, this damp, dreary heap, sir.
You would?
I would.
There you go.
Ah.
Then leave.
What?
Leave me?
Leave you?
Hmm? If you prefer the sophistication of the city, then return to London.
But what would I do? And, what would you do? More's the point. Who'd lay out your coat and breeches?
Someone else?
Someone else? Hmm. And would that someone else have the nose to dress you of a morning?
What? After you've gorged yourself the night before on plum pudding and God knows how many kegs of brandy.
My bath haven't cooked in days.
More wind blows through your breeches, Squire, than drives the King's Navy.
Very well, no, I take your point. And only one course presents itself. I shall get myself a country valet.
A country valet de chambre. There's no such thing.
Bob Scotcher, at your service, sir.
Ah,
I must apologize for not being here when you arrived. Here's a chair with a warm cushion, a lucifer match to light the fire, and a glass of boiled milk to restore the spirits after your long journey.
Boiled milk. In London, you'd be sipping hot punch.
Oh, shut up. I apologize for not being here to meet you, sir, and I would like to say how privileged I am to welcome you as the new squire of Babelwick Hall.
Barney, how many mice have you got in your pockets? Well, shut them up, because I'm not hearing a thing.
Hey, what are you two doing up there?
What's it look like? We're listening at Keel.
Fact is, sir, addressed your uncle, the last squire of Babelwick for 15 years.
15 years?
It was me pulled him out the wishing well, and it was me stood by this bed as he breathed his last.
He died in this bed?
He did.
Oh.
And as a sign of respect, we haven't changed this year.
Oh.
What I'm saying, Squire, is if you come here with this valet from London, what's to become of me? Hey?
Augustus?
Sir?
Well, you said you wish to return to London. Well, perhaps I should take a country valet. What do you think?
One moment, if you please, Mr. Scotcher.
Mr. Snipe?
We shall put you on trial.
What?
We shall see whether you're fit to advise my master on his clothes and coiffure. Now, I have here three of my master's wings. The pigeon's wing, the staircase, and the comet.
So?
Would you be so kind as to tell us which is which?
What?
You heard me. The pigeon's wing, the staircase, the comet. Which wing is which?
Take your time. Well? I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't think I do.
The old squire never had much call for dressing fancy.
Sir, it would be a mortal sin to leave you in the hands of this simpleton.
You watch your tongue.
Mr. Scotcher, a man that knows nothing of wigs knows nothing.
That's enough.
You're not a valet, you're a field worker.
Now look, Mr. Danby.
I said that's enough, both of you.
Bob, I suggest you get the rest of my cases brought up.
So?
And tell the cook to prepare dinner.
Dinner? Did you say dinner?
Oh, I'm starving.
Very well, Squire.
Address the servants in the dining room. There is a dining room, I take it.
Yes, Squire. Sort of.
We'll discuss your position tomorrow.
I do know something of wigs, as it happens. My old master wore what all country gentlemen wear. A nutty scratch.
Nutty scratch? Augustus, do I have one of those?
No, sir. Nor do you have a straw hat, nor a pair of wooden clogs.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll just ask Mr. Scotcher to get rid of that wretched bunt.
You know, it's the strangest thing.
Squire?
But Bob Scotcher looks a lot like that devilish coachman.
What you lot doing up here? We've got to get rid of the new squire, Bob.
You can't chuck him down the well and all.
We will if we have to.
Where's Barney?
He's in the garden. He's that worried he's digging his own grave.
Tell him to bring the cases up. Hurry, move yourselves.
Go on, go on. Mr. Scotcher.
Ah, is that you, Mr. Stack?
Were you talking to someone?
Whenever I'm in the East Wing, I always say a few words to this portrait of my old master.
No, there's no need to play the loyal servant.
Now listen here,
just give me that money.
What money?
The money you took from the squire when you were dressed up as the coachman.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Then perhaps you don't know about this.
What?
A document from my master's land agent, a Mr. Cuthbert Cummings.
Oh, yeah?
Mr. Cummings details the estate, and curiously, towards the end of this letter, makes a reference to the late squire, who, he says, died on January the 4th.
So?
January the 4th was 3 months ago, Mr. Scotch.
My old master died 3 weeks ago.
Really? Or was his death, by any chance, concealed?
What are you getting at?
My master's fallen in love with the country. He talks of nothing but making bread from his own wheat and drinking cider from his own orchards.
It's simpler than I thought.
Nothing fills me with more dread, Mr. Scotcher, than the idea of having to serve my master in this pigsty.
Steady.
Now, you want the squire back in London.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say we have a common interest.
There's a mouse in the milk pan. Barney, is this little chap yours?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, there you are, Bob.
Right, now listen up to what I've got to say. Mr. Snipes got wise on us.
What? Does he know we stole the furniture?
He must do. There's nothing to sit on.
But he's not going to tell the squire.
Hey?
Providing we make this the most miserable night of his master's life and send him running back to London.
Augustus, this dining room's freezing. I'll need the great coat from my trunk. You'd better go and get it.
I can't, sir.
What?
All our cases have been stolen.
Stolen?
I'm afraid so, squire.
Who by?
No idea.
And I'm also told the chimney's blocked.
So we can't have a fire?
Alas, no.
Oh, well.
At least I'm bracing up my fibres with fresh country air, eh?
More inviting than pneumonia.
Oh. Ah! Mr. Scotcher, everyone, do come in.
Squire, I just want to introduce you to the servants.
Squire.
Mr. Scotcher, what's happened to the furniture?
Sir?
Well, there isn't any.
Ah, well, it's been eaten.
The furniture's been eaten?
Yes, squire, by local woodlice. Big they are, very partial to pianos.
And my baggage?
Ah, yes. Barney.
What?
This is Barney, squire.
Hello.
Gardener and yard boy. He's not as simple as he seems, even if it does smell. Trouble is he can't speak proper, ever since he found his mother in bed with a fish. Tell the new squire what happened to his baggage, Barney.
Me?
Yes.
Well,
Don't be frightened, boy. Go on.
I shadded it up, squire. Honest, I did.
I'm sorry.
It was shadded up again, all barn where woodpeckers been happening at thatch.
Happened?
And what with four cont roof at Bearbeat, and I went to go, come back, and what do you reckon, squire? It were duped.
Duped? Stolen, sir. We were feeling it with the gypsies down by Tissy's Brook. The thieves and cannibals, sir. Why, only last week, I saw one of them Romany women suckling a fox.
Mr. Scotcher,
if you could continue with the introduction.
Yes, of course. This squire, this is your groom and footman.
I'm Jack, sir, and you must forgive me whenever I spill your brandy.
Oh?
I've had the trembles and shakes ever since I found my poor wife dead from choking on a shoe.
Oh, you poor man.
Ah, there you are, girl.
Sorry, I'm late, squire.
This, sir, is Molly Biddle, the housekeeper. Molly will be cooking your supper.
I see.
Squire.
Now, Molly, I thought I'd begin with pea soup.
Right.
Followed by poached salmon, lemon pickle, carrots, parsnips, a bottle or two of raisin wine, and to finish...
Sir?
I have such a desperate desire, Molly.
Oh, do you, squire?
For some candied sweetbreads.
Oh, I do some lovely sweetbreads, squire.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
Steady. What a pity we haven't got any.
What?
There's no candied sweetbread, squire, because all the food's been stolen.
Stolen?
By the gypsies, when they stole your baggage.
Oh, shame. You don't understand. I'm starving. I haven't eaten for 12 hours.
Salmon, pike, veal, sweetbreads, all been snatched by them Romanies.
Then what in heaven's name am I going to eat?
Stewed cabbage, sir.
Stewed cabbage? What's happening now, Jack?
Mr. Snipes putting him to bed.
And did you throw any water over his blankets?
Oh, I hope not.
Mr. Snipe emptied a bucketful of it mattress.
You are?
Out the way, woman. I want to look through the keyhole.
Well, sir, I've peeled the mattress as much as I can. It's still somewhat on the moist side. Stand up and I'll dress you for bed.
No, squire. If I move from a fire, I'll die from the shivers.
But it's nearly midnight.
I don't care. I'm too cold to sleep. Too cold and too hungry.
I thought the stewed cabbage looked quite fortifying.
Almost wholesome.
Even if old Jack did drop most of it.
Was rancid and pukish.
Oh, dear.
I'd found more sustenance in that candle. Oh,
let me at least pull off your riding boots.
Oh,
come on, leg up. There we are. There we are.
Oh, God. I had such high hopes, Augustus. Such high, high hopes.
Yes, sir, yeah.
Having suffered so many disappointments in the violence of London, I thought at last I'd found my true place. Living the rest of my days amidst my country comforts.
Now, Alexa. Come on.
Riding the hunt, landing the trout, playing at billiards.
Stuck. If you could just push against me with your other leg.
Augustus, be careful. If my boot comes off, you're likely to fly across the... careful, man!
Augustus? Are you all right? If you could just help me up, sir.
Yes, of course. Here, take my hand.
Oh.
Are you in pain?
Yes, Squire, I'd say I was in pain. And why? Because we're not tough enough for this kind of existence. We are too defined to live with such people. They all talk like idiots and look like potatoes. And the worst thing of all, which I can hardly bring myself to mention.
What, man?
Come on, Augustus, speak. This is the North, sir. The North of England, which means we're beset by that most barbaric and primitive of people, the Yorkshiremen.
Ah, there you are, Mr. Snipe.
Your voice is down. Has he nodded off yet? What do you think? Is he still resolved to stay here?
I'm afraid so.
Then let him be.
She thinks he fancies her. Up, Barney.
Mr. Snipe.
I want you to go and see if your lady friend is ready.
Well, be all right, lass. He's a chimp like. Don't worry. Go on.
Oh, my dear. Oh. Oh, my sweet. Oh. 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 Oh, your lips. Such. What? Who is it?
Oh! Augustus! Augustus, there's a cow in my room!
Oh, I thought you had it.
Jack! Not me!
Barney, go and get a light for the cow.
Hold on, I'm all right, Duchess.
Where are you, Squire? Where are you?
I'm out here.
What?
I'm outside, on the window ledge. And I think that made up!
Oh! Oh, my God.
I reckon he's landed in a rain barrel.
The coach is ready, sir.
Is it? Oh, good.
How are you feeling?
Still somewhat dazed.
Well, take my hand and I'll help you up.
I'd just like to say goodbye to the servants before we go.
No.
If you must. Molly.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm sorry to be leaving in such a hurry.
Oh, so am I.
But having had no food or sleep and having just fallen from the window, I feel an urgent need to see my London doctor.
Are you sure you're well enough to travel, Squire?
Well, perhaps I should wait just a few more
hours. Yes, you're perfectly well enough to travel, Squire. Now, hurry. Our luggage is on board and the coachman's waiting.
Before you go, sir, I've made you some candied sweetbreads.
Oh.
Here.
Oh, Molly. How kind. Dear lady, thank you. Thank you so much.
Don't mention it, sir.
Molly?
Sir?
Has anyone ever told you your cheeks are as pink as a rosebud?
Yes, thank you, sir. If you'll just step up, we must be going.
Goodbye, Jack. I hope you'll recover from the trembles.
I can't hear you, Squire. Sorry.
Oh, no, of course not. Goodbye.
That's
Molly.
It. Up we go. There we are. You ready, coachman?
As willing as a bitch in heat.
Then raise your ladder and turn those horses towards London, man.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Squire. Oh, stop crying, Molly.
Farewell, you clock-hopping imbeciles. You barbarians. You Philistines. You
Send you back in the world of cushioned chairs and carpets, sir. Yes! In a few days, you'll be sitting in the Rainbow Coffee House, playing at Faro, while I'm out in Piccadilly buying your tobacco and chocolate. Oh, yes!
Oh, you look a little dejected, Squire.
Of course I'm dejected. I've just fallen 30 feet into a rain barrel.
Oh, of course. Sorry.
I've got pains in my back, in my arms, my head, my neck, my legs.
All the more reason to get you back to London then, eh?
And I've failed, Augustus.
Of course you haven't failed.
Yes, I have.
Spend less than a day in the country and end up running away from a cow. To make matters worse, I've fallen in love.
With the cow?
With the housekeeper.
Oh.
They're all so kind of a pack sweetbreads. Such thoughtfulness. And such size.
Explain yourself, sir.
To think she'll spend the rest of her days scrubbing floors and pickling onions.
The woman's a drudge, sir. She had the hands of a ploughman.
Oh, here. Have a candied sweetbread.
Oh.
Must be starving.
Oh. Thank you.
I'm so hungry. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Squire?
Bob Scotcher told us the food had been lost.
That's right.
So, where did these sweetbreads come from?
I've no idea. Eat up, sir. Come on. Come on now. Eat up. Come
and
on.
And the luggage. Our luggage.
Yes, sir. It's all on board.
But he told us it had been stolen.
Then he must have found it.
Don't be ridiculous.
Then why has it been packed?
I don't know. Unless... Coachman! Coachman!
Sir? What are you doing, Squire?
We've been lied to, Augustus.
Uh-oh.
Coachman! Pull up the horses!
Oh. What are you doing, Squire?
We're going back.
What? But why?
We've been deceived. Deceived and bullied.
Not at all, sir.
Bob Scotcher's lied to me, I know it.
Well, perhaps just a little, but...
Oh, sir? You were in on it.
No.
Yes.
No.
All because you wanted to get back to London and wallow in your base degeneracy.
I've never wallowed in my life.
I'm surrounded by villainy.
Sir, I just...
Coachman! What's happening? Turn the coach round, we're going back.
What? You can't turn me round now.
Oh, yes, I can.
Oh, sir, please.
But if you turn me round now, Squire, I won't hurt the full guinea.
What do you mean?
I'll be out of pocket.
It's you.
Eh?
Bob Scotcher.
No?
Yes, it is.
Ah, Miss Cousin.
The devil himself take off that beard, man.
What?
Take off that beard, this instant, you scheming rogue.
All right.
I don't believe it. Everyone a villain.
Squire, on bended knee, I implore you.
Turn this coach round, Mr. Scotcher, and take us back to Babelwick Hall. Immediately. Please, everyone, be quiet.
Won't be.
Thank you.
There's no need to shout, sir.
Yes, there is. I'm the squire, and I'm entitled to shout.
You're the devil, Jack.
I said, be quiet.
Sorry, squire.
Now. Is everyone here?
Yes, Squire. Yes,
everyone except Bob Scotcher, who seems to have run away. Barney?
Sir?
Go bring in my luggage.
Yes, sir.
And don't dare come back speaking nonsense, telling me the gypsies have taken it.
No, sir.
Jack, I want the horses roweled, bled, shoed and combed by 2 o'clock.
With my back.
It'll do you good.
It'll kill me.
Then I'll get a new groom.
Oh.
Molly?
Yes, Squire.
Come here, dear lady.
Oh, God.
Molly, I'm so hungry.
I've just put a rabbit pie in the oven.
Oh.
Smothered in onions and cranberries.
Ooh.
Steady.
And what would you like to follow?
Well, I have to say, Molly, I have such an overpowering urge.
Oh, do you, Squire?
For a gigantic pyramid of syllabubs and jellies.
And how do you like your jellies?
Firm.
Oh, for God's sake, why not run off the bed and be done with it?
Be quiet. That'll be all, Molly.
Sir.
Oh, stop crying. You can forget about London, Augustus. From now on, you're a Yorkshireman.
Never.
Valet to a country squire.
Never.
So how about getting down to some real work?
Work? What work would you like me to do, Sam? Gut a rabbit, perhaps? Or go out picking apples? Or no doubt I should don a pair of giant nail boots and start ploughing up a field.
Oh, that's a good idea.
What?
You can do that tomorrow. As for today, how about a spot of milking?
Milking?
That's if we can catch this wretched cow.
Oh, come on. You run that way. Quick, man.
Babelwick Hall starred Nicholas Le Prevost and Forbes Masson, with Sam Kelly, Philip Jackson, Gillian Bevan and David Andrews. The music was composed by Paul Mockram. Babblewick Hall, written by Scott Cherry and produced by Paul Schlesinger.